everybody. Hey, Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. with Meredith Locker. How you doing, Meredith?
I'm great, Cal. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing really good. How do you like that new mood lighting we have in your office?
Ooh, I love it. I'm so happy.
That's like a candlelight dinner. Very romantico.
It is. Me all by myself. Wish there were more people in the our hypnospace room watching.
I know. Well, you know, it'll catch on, I think. I only sent it out to the Five Path group and did a quick mention on just on my blog on our hypnospace. Hey, let's see here. What should we do? Ah, if you guys are watching this video anywhere else except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now because right below this video, that's where all the supporting information is, web links, graphics, right down there. So go to calbanyan.com and get that. Couple of announcements. We're still running our economic stimulus package, which means you can save $300, 300 smackaroos on the 5-Path 2.0 DVD and audio set. Go to hypnosiscenter.com. Or you can go to, hypnosis.org has got it. And you know what you can do? We also have a link right there to take you right through it. And you can learn all about how to be a 5-Pather and even get certification optionally through this course. Our hypnospace continues to grow and grow. And like I mentioned last episode, the NGH has a new community. It's just for the Hypnotist Convention. So go to thehypnotistconvention.com, and guess what? The coolest thing is all of the people who are giving talks at the convention, workshops, are going to be encouraged to set up groups so that you can ask them questions about what they're going to be teaching and otherwise interact with the instructor on thehypnotistconvention.com. Go there, join me there. I have a group there where I'm going to talk about all of the different workshops I'm going to be teaching. Friday, I've got two workshops, and I'm also going to be doing a pre-convention workshop on 7-Path. And I'm so excited about that. 7-Path is a passion of mine. It's really made a difference in my life. It's a super mind-body-spirit self-hypnosis program, and you can not only just learn how to do it for yourself, you can get certified as a teacher. All right, what else do I have here? Mentioned the NGH website, did that. Are you open to making your income more secure? You interested in losing weight? Email Meredith or I, and we'll give you all the information you need to get started with Cal Banyan's secret project, weight loss and income building project. And you know what? We're helping hypnotists, massage therapists, and people all over the United States, Canada, Puerto Rico, Hong Kong, Taiwan to lose weight, improve their health, and also to add income to their life. And you don't have to be a hypnotist to do that. Anybody who is really teachable can do it. Meredith, can I give them your email address so they can email you or me for the spilling of the beans?
I would love to. I'd love to spill the beans, Cal. Meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. And if you have any trouble with the spelling, be sure to go to calbanyan.com. Just below where you can watch this episode, you will have all of the details and the information, the proper spelling, all of that.
That's right. And if you want to email me, it's calbanyan@hypnosiscenter.com. Hey, you know, you guys, we're doing an experiment right now. We're actually streaming this over the internet live through ourhypnospace.com, our community website. It's the very first hypnosis professionals networking and socializing network. And we've got video chat set up there. So we decided we'd just run this recording over there. And so, gosh, you can just watch us record this and type messages to us at the bottom of the screen, and that's going to be fun. So now this is pre-recorded, and what we're going to do is we will always announce when we're doing these recordings ahead of time on our Yahoo groups and also on our Hypnospace. So, gosh, I think that's enough announcements. Now, as you know, we're going to the 10 keys to forgiveness, and we decided, you know, we're thinking, you know, there might be some people watching this, regular viewers, that aren't ready yet to do age regression, hypnosis, and we'd be kind of losing you right now. So we decided, since we're now getting a good stream of questions coming in, each of these episodes, we're going to answer at least one question before we get to any of the keys. So, Meredith, do you have a question all lined up for us?
I do, but first I want to share some feedback. Is that okay?
Oh, yes, do it, please.
Good. So Joffrey wrote in, and thank you all for so much for writing in. We really appreciate it. But Joffrey wrote in saying, thanks for the great podcast. It's great to have the 10 Keys series as a refresher, as I just completed my phase 2 study in your 5-Path DVD course. All great information. I look forward for the next key. Thank you so much, Joffrey.
That's wonderful. Hey, I just set my timer. I forgot to set my timer. I figure we've spent about 5 minutes, so... All right, we're ready for the question. Lay it on me. And thank you, Joffrey, and for that input. And please, everybody, keep sending it in.
All right. Well, I got a question from Richard, and this went into our Hypnospace Ask Cal group, which we really appreciate when you go in there. It's real helpful, and other people can go in and comment about the question ahead of time so you can kind of get some immediate feedback until we've gotten to it on an episode. But this question from Richard, it sounds like he had been doing hypnosis before learning 5-Path, and it sounds like what he had been doing in age regression before was when he found the ISE or the SSE, the initial sensitization event or the subsequent sensitizing event, it sounds like he was doing the no-no thing, Cal, and it sounds like he was rewriting history. He was having them live it as if it was different, and he's since learned from you that he's not supposed to do that. But since changing the way he does it, having them go through it with everything exactly the same, but looking at it differently and feeling differently about it, he hasn't quite gotten the same emotional response. And so he's kind of wondering if that's okay. He had a client with severe abandonment fears to go through a past life experience where his parents were leaving him to die in the woods, and then apparently took this information and the fear did disappear going through the ISE and the SSEs and all of that, but he feels like bringing the grown-up into the situation and having them live it out the same way but looking at it differently, he didn't get the same emotional response, and so he feels nervous about the dryness of his last two sessions with this particular client, and he's wondering if he should encourage the client to exhaust his negative emotions during the ISE and only once that happens fully regress him back to do the informing child technique. And he has some other questions, but maybe I'll kind of start with that.
A number of questions in there. Can you kind of boil that down to like just two or three questions for me? And what do you think he means by this emotional reaction, or what do you mean?
He seems to want an emotional response from the client, and he seems to feel that that emotional response or that kind of catharsis is necessary and more therapeutic than what he's doing right now with age regression.
And is he saying that when he was making up a new history for the person, he got more of a catharsis?
Yeah, he got more tears, joyful tears, than he does without rewriting history.
Okay, this is what I think. Okay, so you give somebody some la-la land, I wish I would have had mommy tell me I love you when she didn't. And you know what? They're going to cry and they're going to be so happy. And you know what? It's not going to amount to a hill of beans. And this is why. Because inside, at the conscious level, subconscious level, both, they know that mom never said, I love you. I mean, as an example, if somebody, you know, they went back and the problem was is they were insecure because mother never made them feel loved. If you take them back and rewrite history with them having this imaginary mother saying, oh, I love you, you're the most important thing in the world, they know that's not the way it happened. And so that is going to have the power of direct suggestion. It's not going to be the same as what real powerful age regression does. What makes age regression so powerful is it's an insight therapy. You want to actually, or an insight process if you're not doing therapy. Now, what I mean by this is, when you take somebody back through the SSEs and the ISE, and you have them go before the ISE, and tell them what they need so they can get through the ISE. And again, that's initial sensitizing event. Probably you're all up to date on that because we've been going through the 10 keys of forgiveness. If you tell them what, for example, I might take this, let's stay with this example of this individual who never felt lovable and their mother never said, I love you. We bring up that feeling, we follow it back through the SSCs, we get to the SSC, and we find out it's the first time the child thought, maybe mom doesn't love me. You know, I can't get her to say, I love you. Other moms do that, and they get this feeling of lack of self-worth. Now, I will then take them before the ISC to check out, you know, if it is the ISC and all the things I talked about verifying the ISC. And if you're not knowing what I'm talking about, you need to go to the previous episodes on the 10 keys to doing age aggression. Now, I take the individual back before the initial sensitizing event, and I'm going to ask grown-up, who's the adult aspect. I got two parts of the client now. I've got the regressed aspect, who might be, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, and I've got the grown-up. And I would say to the grown-up, I say, that little one, that we'll call him 4, because we call the regressed person by their age of the regression. Let me ask something about grown-up. If you have a little child like 4 in your life, maybe as a son or daughter, niece, nephew, could you love them? Okay? And they'll say, oh yeah, they're so lovable. Boy, it'd be nice if you knew that back then. Or I might say, hey, is there anybody in that little one's life that loves them? I mean, and they say, well, yeah, grandma loves them. I say, oh, boy, be nice if you knew that back then, huh? And we will take grown-up back to that time. Have grown-up inform the child, you know, even though mom never says I love you, and she's never going to say I love you, you're lovable. Grandma loves you. I love you. Don't know why mom doesn't say it. And then I might even ask grown-up, let me ask you something. With everything you know about mom, did she ever love you? Now, the basically two answers. No, she didn't, and yes, she did. And if she says, no, she never loved me, that's fine. That's the truth. But that doesn't mean the child isn't lovable because grown-up loves her, grandma loves her, maybe her brother or sister love her. She's lovable, you see. But we don't have... Well, let me cover the other one. Also, I said there's two things that could happen. One is mom doesn't love her, and the other is mom does love her. In that case, very simple for grown-up to say, let me tell you about mom. She really loves you. She just doesn't know how to say it, or she didn't grow up in the kind of environment where she learned how to do that. So we tell the child regressed before the ISC that mom loves you, or mom doesn't love you, but grandma does, and I do. And then we run them through the events of her life without mom saying, I love you, but now she goes through it, knowing what she wished she would have known then. You see? And that information is insight. Insight is so important because when you have an insight, an aha, an epiphany, then it is accepted as true because it is. And the change is permanent. And then I'm going to get into what you can do with that in a future episode. Is that kind of what you think that, was it John that was asking?
No, this was Richard.
Oh, sorry, Richard. So is that what Richard is asking?
Yeah, I definitely think so. It sounds to me like Richard believes that emotional catharsis or that emotional outpouring, whether it's joyful or what have you, is necessary to transformation.
Okay. Well, if the person is being taken through an imaginary life that's positive, and that's going to be a positive kind of emotion, but that's not an emotional release. That's just, hey, I feel good. I've just had this pleasurable experience. It's not going to last. The kind of catharsis is a release of pent-up emotion. And that is something that does happen in many, many age aggressions. It is very positive, but catharsis is different from just having a pleasant experience. And if he's taken him through an imagined event, then that's not catharsis. That's just a pleasurable emotion. Oh, I feel so loved now because mommy's saying I loved you. But the conscious mind, subconscious mind knows that that never really happened. So it's not accepted in a long way, like an insight process would do. But catharsis is when someone is taken to an event in the past and they express the emotion. And the more fully they express the emotion, the more the release is going to help them. Like if they've got a fear and they or anger or a sadness and they've been holding it in, that can cause all kinds of problems. Read my book, The Secret Language of Feelings. And what happens is we get a feeling inside we don't want, and we start distracting ourselves through food or alcohol or cigarettes or sex or shopping or becoming a workaholic and that kind of thing. And releasing that information can be that pent-up emotion can be very healing, and especially if it's followed up with insight work like I just talked about. Whew. Is that better?
That's better, yeah. I mean, tears of joy do not necessarily equal profound change. And I think that's kind of what Richard is, that's the misperception he's laboring under. And just because they're not sobbing with joy doesn't mean that profound change isn't happening, isn't going to continue to elapse over the period of the next few days or next week for that client. And, you know, I think he's looking for signs that what he's doing is affecting change, and time will only show that. Time will show that he is actually affecting change with this process.
That's exactly right. Hey, I think we've spent enough time on that question. Is there anything else you want to add to that before we go on, Meredith?
Nope, that's it. Thanks, Cal.
God, I really like that you picked that question because it's so like on topic with where we're going. So why don't you do a really, really fast review of what we've covered so far in the 10 keys, and then lay the next key on us.
Okay, ready, set, go. Here's the speed version. Key one, proper client preparation, induction, deepening, and testing. So we want to make sure that we lay the groundwork, the foundation for the client to be able to get the most efficient, effective process. We want to make sure that their questions are answered. We have all the information. They've got all the information, and make sure we get them to the right depth of hypnosis to do the age regression work, and we test and do convincers to show them that they are hypnotized. Key two, we want to use the correct type of age regression, choosing from the various bridges or regression types, and that's affect bridge, date time regression, symptom bridge, cognitive bridge, and somatic bridge. Key three, we want to create a powerful bridge. So we want our affect, our voice, to be congruent with what we're trying to bring up so that we can get that back, and we want to watch for physical symptoms and tell them about those physical symptoms so that we can continue to build that bridge effectively. Four, we want to regress to an SSE first, not an ISE first. We don't want to spend too much time there. We want to just get the information that we need and then keep going back to the ISE. And what's the information that we need? Key five, we want to ask the fantastic five questions. We want to find out what's happening. How old are you? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? And is the feeling familiar or new? Not necessarily always in that order. How old are you might kind of move around a bit. Key six, we want to know how to confirm that we have the ISC, and this is a pretty systematic process, and so definitely check out our previous episodes to get the details on that. But we want to make sure that the client says that it's new. We want to go just before the ISC and make sure that the problem doesn't exist. We want to make sure that the client easily accepts the information during the informed child technique and make sure that it makes sense given the history of the client. Key seven, we want to become an expert at doing the informed child technique. So important. There are so many resources that you can check out to find out how to do that better. Lots and lots there. And check previous episodes for information about that. Number eight, take the client through the ISE as it actually happened after doing the informed child technique. We're not going to change reality like we just talked about. We don't change history here, but we change perception. And changing perception changes the feelings. So therapeutic. And then nine, we take the client through the SSEs, bringing that change, bringing that new perspective into it and helping them as needed throughout the SSE process. And that brings us to 10, Cal.
Wow. You did that great.
Thank you.
And you know what? I'm going to start this one off and then I'm going to go ahead and let you finish it up because I just did so much talking and I know people are really turning into the show so that they can see you instead of this ugly mug. All right. So number 10, do age progression. And in all the training that I had about age regression. Really, very little was talked about age progression. So as we took people back through the back in time, as we have them do that, and they're going back in time from, let's say, the grown-up who's 40, moving back, that's called age regression. And when they relive the event, it's called revivification. And then as we take them through the ISE, change their perceptions, change their emotions with regarding to the situation, if the emotion is not valid, and then moving them through the SSEs, that reinforces the change. But then I coined this new term, pre-vivification, and that is taking them to the future. For example, in the what I've been talking about with this chart is, like, let's say they had the fear of spiders, and we take them back. We change the fear of spiders, change the perception, the fear isn't there. We reinforce it in the SSEs, subsequent sensitizing events, and then we take them to their probable future. You see, everybody that comes in to see me, they're motivated to come in and see me now, as opposed to last week, last month, last year. There's something usually coming up in the immediate future that is, you know, motivating to do it. Maybe it's weight loss and summer's coming up, or there's a wedding or something like that. Let's take example, the person has a fear of spiders. What's going to happen is, you know, why now? Why are they coming in to see now? Well, see me now. Well, probably there's something coming up where they're anticipating their fear of spiders or their fear of flying or whatever it is going to cause them some problems. So then after I've done the regression work, I'm going to take them into the probable future where they can visit the events where the concern them. For example, let's say that in the age regression, we found out that there was a fear of spiders, and maybe when he was a Boy Scout, that's one of the SSEs where he saw a spider and he got all afraid and it was real embarrassing. And now his son or daughter is going through the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, and he's got to take them camping or something, and he's really afraid that, gosh, what if I see a spider? I'll embarrass myself and my son or daughter as I freak out about this spider. So that might be what motivated him to come and see me. So I want to do age progression work and run that individual through that event without being afraid. Why aren't they afraid? Because we did the regression, neutralized the cause at the ISC, reinforced the change in the SSEs. Now we can go to the future event and have them go maybe through one, two, or three of those events, experiencing the change. And Meredith, why don't you go ahead and take it from there? I know I'm leaving a few things out so that you have something to talk about.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So yeah, I love this part. I think this is probably my absolute favorite part of age regression, which is kind of funny because it's actually age progression that I'm really loving. You know, I think that if we actually get to experience something in our minds, then we are so much more confident that we're going to be able to do that thing. And, you know, so often what keeps people stuck in the situation that they're in is that they have not had, at least for a very long time maybe, or maybe never, the experience of being outside of doing that thing. And so, you know, like working with a smoker, if they've been a smoker for 40 plus years, don't even really remember, you know, the last time they didn't smoke, feel what it was going to feel like to not smoke and to go into a situation that they normally would smoke in is so powerful, because they get to live through that event choosing not to smoke and see how they feel differently and bringing all of these new feelings and all of this new kind of maybe disgust about the cigarettes and this new powerful feeling of being in control of their body and their choices, and bring that into that scenario, whatever that scenario is that typically triggers them. And so, you know, like I worked with a smoker this week, and his typical triggers, he's got two main ones, and that's when he has coffee in the morning, that's when he really seems to want a cigarette. So I'm really sure to bring him into that event and have him experience having his coffee without choosing to have the cigarette. And then his other time is when he does go to a bar. And, you know, he's successfully been able to stop smoking in the past for periods of time. But then if he goes into a bar and he's, around people that smoke, or he hears or sees people go outside to have that cigarette, something clicks in him and he suddenly wants it again. And so going through that experience without choosing to smoke is very powerful. And it builds that confidence that he's going to be able to do that the next time he goes to a bar. So he doesn't think he has to avoid going out with friends for the rest of his life in order to avoid smoking. Do you have anything to add to that, Cal?
Nope, you're doing great.
Okay. And then, what I like to do is really pick an amount of time. Like you said, Cal, that sometimes people have an event that they're going to be going to, and so you might want to take them to that, but sometimes they don't. Like my smoker didn't particularly have an event that was coming up, but, there's these certain triggers and certain situations. But the other thing that happened with this recent smoker is that he was able to quit for usually a period of a year and a half, even 2 years at certain points in his life. And so not only am I going to take him to a couple recent times doing the things that usually trigger him, but I'm going to take him past that point in time when he usually breaks down and starts smoking again, and have him experience doing it 3 years down the line, choosing not to smoke even then. And that just covers all my bases. That makes the client leave my office feeling like he or she will be able to actually say no to cigarettes when things, happen in the future that he's used to choosing smoking. And instead, he's choosing not to smoke in this situation. It's just so powerful.
And Meredith, you might want to say something about how this is useful for sports figures also.
Oh gosh, well this is the main thing I do actually when I work with athletes, especially when I can't do 5-path. And I don't do 5-path when my sports clients are in the middle of their season or coming up on a competition, because I don't want to stir up emotion that might get in the way of them being able to perform at their best. And so clients that are kind of in the middle of their season and just need to have that extra edge, we're gonna go through tons of this work, just having them go into the situation that they're coming up to, and maybe we'll just repeat it several times until they really feel like they've got it and they've really stepped up to that next level that they want to achieve in their sports abilities. Every single sports client that I work with, every single athlete reports back to me afterwards that they had extreme success, that they beat their times, they beat the people that they wanted to beat. Every single time, hypnosis is powerful in doing that when you do this future progression, this future reinforcing event.
Whew, boy. You know what? I think we've used up all of our time.
I think so, too.
All right. I'm going to tell everybody out there, if I was in the Los Angeles area and I wanted to do hypnotherapy, I'd go see Meredith. And you know what? Of course, if you're in the Orange County area of California, you want to come see me or one of our hypnotherapists here at our center. All right. Why don't you wrap it up for us then, Meredith?
All right. Thanks for tuning in. We still have one more key, the bonus key to cover, covering that in the next episode, as well as more questions sent in by fabulous other hypnotherapists and hypnotists out there. Thanks for tuning in. Looking forward to seeing you next time. And it's Meredith Locker signing off.
This is Cal Banyan. Go to my other websites, calbanyan.com. That's this one. Go to Our Hypnospace. That's where we are streaming this right now. It's the very first hypnosis, networking, and socializing website community. It's all about community, getting to know people around the world, sharing and caring. And let's see, hypnosis.org. Haven't talked about that for a while. We've got everything about hypnosis on that website. And remember to check out thehypnotistconvention.com to get all the latest about the NGH convention. And July, I'm doing a Banyan Hypnosis Certification Super Course, where you get certification through the National Guild of Hypnotists and 5-Path and 7-Path. Be there or be square. That's it. Cal Banyan signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.